First Thessalonians chapter 5. Pastor apologized for giving me such short notice, and you know, it's probably just as well with me because I can't settle down and think until the pressure's on. I'm a very good procrastinator. Hopefully, 1 Thessalonians 5 will be a blessing to us tonight. We'll read just a bit at a time. Try to get through the whole chapter. Don't know if we'll make it all the way through or not, but we'll give it a go. Verses 1 through 3. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. As we stand here tonight, or as you sit here tonight, the day of the Lord is closer than ever. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, but as we look around at the world, it just seems like things are happening really rapidly. But it says in verse 3 that they shall not escape. The question is, who shall not escape? This is a chapter kind of us and they. Us and they. The they that shall not escape. That's the unsaved. That's the rulers of this world. It doesn't say that we shall not escape. So that's good news. They shall not escape. It's bad news for them, but it's good news for us. So anyhow, but it says in verse 4 through 7, I'll just summarize that. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we covered who the they were. Who are the us? You can talk back. Who's the us? The we are, the saved, the church. So that's the us. But let us watch and be sober. So, being sober is being serious, being alert. And so as we go towards the day of the Lord, as Christians, need to be aware of what's going on in the world around us. And if you listen to the news, it's pretty discouraging. But yet, if we don't pay attention, we can be caught unaware. And seems like breastplate. Well, breastplate covers the chest. It says of faith. That's verses 8 through 10. It says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So what is the greatest threat, do you guys think, to our faith? Satan. But a lot, you know, the disciples, when they were walking with the Lord, seemed like a lot of their biggest problems were they expected things to go a certain way. They expected Jesus to be setting up a kingdom, and he was going to rule and he was going to reign. And when things didn't happen the way they thought, it kind of put them into a little bit of a tailspin. So I don't know much. I'll admit that right now. I take what I have read in the Bible, and I just try to piece it together and try to understand, to the best of my ability with Scripture. And my biggest fear is knowing things that aren't necessarily so. And if you listen, you can hear a whole lot of different views out there. Don't get wrapped up so much in views this way or that way, to where if it's not right, I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong, because I don't know. But don't let that sidetrack you if something unexpected occurs, because when you're dead set that this is the way this is going to happen, and if it doesn't happen that way, it can set you back, can make you doubt and question a lot of things. I try to put all the Scripture together that I can, and like I said, I'm not very smart. I'll admit, I'm not very smart. And on the other hand, it's very complex. So I think the safest way to go is to stay in the Word, be aware of what's going on around us, and if you have to adjust your thinking to something that happens, be willing to, because, as we're getting closer and closer to the day of the Lord, it's going to be tougher. It's going to get tougher. The Bible tells us, there's going to come days when men's heart will fail out of fear. And I don't know when that is, but the Word of God is true. We know that much. And so I got I'm way off on my notes already. So anyhow, I apologize. But anyhow, try to get back onto my notes. So it's okay. And we should study and try to figure out the who, what, where, when, why, and how. But I just caution that we don't get to thinking that we know it all. Because, like I said, if things don't work out the way we think they will, it'd be hard to stay and have your feet planted firm in the Word of God and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Verse 9 and 10, it says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." We have obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, "Comfort yourselves together and edify one another." I think the main thing that the church should be doing these days is trying to edify one another. And pray for one another, edify one another. Just be thinking of one another. And give somebody a call. Say, "Hey, you are on my mind. I've been praying for you. Is there anything you need?" We need to draw closer to one another as a church, as we draw towards the more difficult times. Like I said, just the amount of sickness we've had here lately, it kind of just breaks things up and makes it difficult to even, pull together our services here. It's just always seems like there's always something causing a bit of a struggle. And so pray for one another, edify one another. I asked on my notes if you are being graded on how well you are doing that. What grade do you think you'd get? I don't want an answer. But I want you to think about that. Could I do better? I think everybody, when it comes to the service for the Lord, would have to say, I could do better. I could do better. But it's a struggle. The world is always beating at us. The things of the world, the cares of the world, and that all that does just clashes with our service for the Lord. And you know, the God of this world kind of set it up that way, to where, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for us. And we, verses 12 and 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, this isn't just your pastor, but it includes your pastor. So pray for him regularly. If Satan's going to attack, most likely he's going to go after the leader. And that's our pastor. So be praying for him regularly, and try to be a blessing to him, and try to edify him. And I added, and quit your silly squabbling. I think there's nothing harder for a leader to have a bunch of folks that are just fussing at one another. Doesn't do anybody any good. I don't care how right you are. If you're always fussing with somebody else because they're wrong, well, you're causing problems. You really are. And the pastor hears it. He's human. So be praying for one another instead of picking at one another. A lot. Pretty simple. But I think it happens more the other way, picking at one another more than we're praying for one another. And as I said, we're getting closer to the day of the Lord. That's exciting. It really is. The Bible says, comfort yourselves with that news that we're getting closer. Verses 14 and 15. Be there for one another. Love one another, no matter how you feel about each other. Kind of got ahead of myself there. Learn not to live according to your feelings. Learn to live in love one for another. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. You know, he makes no mistakes, and he is in control. The day of the Lord will come. They shall not escape, but we will. So verse 17 says, pray. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Boy, do I ever fail there. It just doesn't come natural, does it? I mean, it should. It should come natural to the Spirit. But the flesh, I don't know. We see something shiny and we're distracted. And the cares of this life are so distracting. So pray, pray, pray without ceasing. And be thankful, verse 18. Be thankful. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. not just the stuff you like. It says, in everything. So if you're thinking of something right now that you just can't be thankful for, learn to give thanks for it. Determine to give thanks. And then go to the next thing that you're not so thankful for. And just work on it. Be thankful in all things, in everything. Hardest thing to do. Because when my truck broke down, like I said, for a day or two, wasn't too bad. And I wasn't too bad, but the other driver was really grumpy. He didn't like having to put up with me, chauffeur me around, and do my job after he'd already done his job. I helped a lot on his, so anyhow. But yeah, we got grumpy. We didn't like it. And we weren't thankful. I wasn't thankful. So, work on it. It's easy. It's easy to get bent out of shape, grumpy. Especially with your spouse, who's not as perfect as you are. I knew I'd get a reaction from her. I'm not as perfect as she is either, so there. So yes, be thankful in everything. And verse 19, quench not the spirit. Really, quenching the spirit is disagreeing with God about what's right and what you ought to be doing. Because the spirit is always instructing us in what we should do, what we should say, how we should think. And when you quench the spirit, it's saying, nope, nope, I know what's best. I'm smarter. No. When I was first saved, you never ever encountered anybody who was more shy in your life. I was not one to open my mouth and say much of anything to anybody. And got saved, the Lord laid it on my heart. Three different people. Well, one was a couple. I don't remember the other. One was a specific person. To invite them to church. I said the first thing I did when I got saved, I believe, was learn how to quench the spirit. Because, oh, I can't do that. And within 6 months, give or take, I don't remember that well, but it wasn't real long. Every one of those persons that the Lord had laid on my heart to invite to church showed up at church. It's like, would it really have been that hard? No. So quench not the spirit. Try to get in touch with the Lord, get closer to the Lord, be praying without ceasing, and be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is directing you to do. Because, like I said, the closer we get to when the Lord returns, it's not going to get any easier. Things are going to get rough. Fasten your seatbelts. We'll be okay, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just read through the rest of the chapter without too much commentary, I think. Despise not prophesyings. I don't think we do that too much. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Well, what's good? Praying for one another, that's good. Praying for our pastor, that's good. Hold fast to those things that are good. If you can think of something that's good, hold fast to it. abstain from all appearance of evil. That can be a pretty broad category right there. I heard of a person that wouldn't drink root beer out of a brown bottle because it looked like a beer bottle. I don't know if that verse really includes that or not. But if it convicts you, I guess don't do it. So just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because then the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be preserved blameless, we need to be right with God. We need to be doing the things in our church that edifies, builds each other up, strengthening that which remains. Faithful is he that calleth you, and who also will do it. Reminds me of my refusal to invite those people to church. He says, I'll do it anyhow. You should have been faithful. Shame on me. But I was hiding behind my shyness and my insecurity. Verse 25 says, brethren, pray for us. The work of the Lord around the world. Pray for us. Pray for those that are ministering the gospel. I don't have statistics or anything, but I hear there's a lot of missionaries leaving the field. I hear there's a lot of preachers packing it up and not preaching any longer, giving up their church and sulking away. I have a cousin whose husband pastored for probably 15, maybe even 20 years. And he's no longer pastoring. So pray for anybody you can think of who's working for the Lord. We have a list of missionaries. I wish I had them all memorized. But I don't. But I bet you, if we set our mind to it, we could learn a lot of their names and where they're at and what they're doing if we set our minds to it. We set our minds to a lot of things, but the work of the Lord seems to be where we let things slip. Verse 26. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I tease a lot of the men about this from time to time. I have in the past. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Don't get any ideas. But it's scriptural. Amen. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren to remind us all. Be there for one another, especially your pastor. The ladies had a little fellowship last night. Nobody here said anything about it. Asked for praises or anything. Did y'all have a good time? Yeah. I think Mrs. Pastor mentioned something about her husband being under attack. Pray for him. I came here tonight basically to tell you guys, pray for your pastor. Be thankful for your pastor. Pray for one another. Get to doing the Lord's work. Because time's short. The day of the Lord is coming. Hallelujah. but we've got, he left us here to do something. So let's be doing. And it's easier to do it together than alone. Amen. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not a dynamic speaker. And I couldn't even follow my own notes. But that's what I had. That's what I had for us tonight. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, we do thank you for this church. Lord, we do thank you for our pastor. Pray, Lord, you'd raise him up from this sickness. Pray, Lord, you'd strengthen him against the wiles of the devil. Pray you'd strengthen this church. Pray that we'd all learn better how to love one another. It doesn't come natural. Just pray, Lord, you'd be with us as we go our way tonight. Keep us safe. Watch over us. Bring us back Sunday. May we have a great time in the house of the Lord. May we see souls saved and lives changed for years, honor and glory. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.